This is Mark Skogman and Terry Weeks, TK Weeks, and we are the co-hosts of Spectrum 360 radio program, and we are going to be having a wild ride tonight. We are broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Yes, we are. We are going for it here on live radio.
So this is going to be a very unusual and strange Spectrum 360. It will not be the highly produced program that it normally is, but we are going to have some fun, and we're going to take you for a wild ride through what's been happening in politics here for the last several days. So without further ado, this is the radio program Spectrum 360 live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And isn't that cool? And this is Monday, the 24th of April, 2017. And yes, we are back on the air. The first time in a few weeks with a new original live broadcast program.
We missed you.
Yes, you recognize that, don't you? I think we're doing this.
You have an incoming transmission.
Of course we are, but I think because this program's a little bit different, that it probably is going to sound like this.
There's something squirrely around here. Could be you, Doc.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You'll have to excuse me. This is one strange program. Yes, we are on location in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the middle of the state of Maryland for a strange live Spectrum 360. Remember that Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions, and that I have my co-host TK Weeks with me right here. And as usual, Spectrum 360 is a copyright by Mark A. Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged, strangely enough. And TK Weeks, are you indeed live?
I am live. Yes, I am live from the nation's capital, where I have been for a few days now. Came out for the Science March, the March for Science in Washington, D.C.
Oh, very good. Okay. I love it. So let's tell you what's on tonight's program. Segment one is going to be the This Week in Review. Segment two will be the current events calendar. We're going to try to sneak in Jim Hightower for segment three. And segment four is going to be myself interviewing co-host TK Weeks about her participation in the March for Science that happened this last Saturday, 22 April 2017, on the Capitol Mall next to the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., surrounded by the state of Maryland and the state of Virginia. And then we'll also have excerpts from various speeches that were held or that were conducted that day from the stage. There was a rally before the march, and then there was a march. The weather was bad. And,
yes.
And Terry will, TK Weeks will tell you more about that as we go along. But we have excerpts of the audio from that march, and this is going to be good. And then also, we're going to hear Jim Hightower.
Yes, the Donald is delivering for the working class, but what exactly is he delivering? I'll tell you today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
I think this is what he's delivering. At least I think he is. Let's try that again.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Just one other thing, I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk.
Thank you.
I feel better now. I just, I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Okay. Well, you can see it's a normal Spectrum 360. We're having fun with Donald Trump, and don't you love it? So, that's what we're doing in tonight's program. We're going to take care of a little bit of business here, and then we're going to write to segment one in just about a minute. Thank you for listening to tonight's strange live on location edition of Spectrum 360.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
That was the song Tillery by the Becca Stevens Band. And the reason I think that song was appropriate tonight was because the weather here in Washington, D.C. has been strange and varying wildly from very hot to very cold. Currently, the weather today, it's the temperatures are cold. It's overcast.
Completely. By Florida standards.
Well, by anyone's standards, even by D.C. standards. And it's windy and there's been rain off and on all day. So it's a cold spring day with rain. And just a few days, TK Weeks will tell you about the fact that it was very hot. In fact, she was so hot she wished she had had a tank top on when she was outside because that's how much the weather has varied. It's varied from very hot summer weather to cold winter weather in the space of a few days, all of this in the month of April. Correct?
That is correct. Yes, it was very hot the first few days I was here walking around town. I'm seeing the sights, probably in the low to mid 80s, which is pretty summery weather. And then just in time for the March for Science, things changed and it got pretty chilly.
And people say there isn't climate change. Is that correct?
That's what they say. From what I hear, Washington had a very early spring this year. The cherry blossoms actually bloomed in February because it was so warm.
Yes, and we just had dinner with a Washington, D.C. resident that we know, and we, of course, asked him a lot of questions about what's been happening here, especially with the weather and politics, of course, as well. And what he did verify for us, that was indeed true, that it got so hot in February that the cherry blossoms bloomed on the cherry trees, and, of course, they were destroyed by cold weather that came after that, and that really changed the situation with the weather to the detriment of the delicate cherry blossoms that blossomed on the tree. So the weather is fooling plants and animals into doing the wrong thing, and that's not good. Here's a comment from the Rachel Maddow Show from 2000. This comment is referring to 2015, but it's just as appropriate now as when it was said then. Listen.
July 2015, July itself, turns out to be the single hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Ta-da. In the history of keeping records of Earth's average temperatures, no month has ever been hotter than this past month. We did it. But remember, global warming is a hoax, easily disproven by the fact that it still sometimes snows in the winter. So pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data.
Did you hear that? That was Armageddon lurking in the data. That is a fact, folks. And the Science March is really... it's really emphasized that fact in a tremendously positive and forceful way. You just cannot ignore the fact that we are experiencing catastrophic climate change. This is the beginning of a very serious period in the history of the Earth and climate. And for this country, the United States, all because of climate change, and it ain't good, folks. And that's what we're trying to emphasize on this program, is just how bad this is going to be and how bad it is for people to actually even try to deny that this is actually happening, because it is happening. We know it is.
And if we deny it, we are not going to be prepared, and we will have no chance of averting, you know, the most catastrophic outcomes. We may still have some time to do that now, but if we deny science, as the Trump administration continues to do, we're going to be in big trouble.
And that was one of the main messages from the March for Science on Saturday. So we want you to think about that, and this is just basically a preface for the whole rest of the program, is the fact that we need to be thinking about these issues in a serious way. And if the March for Science was not a wake-up call to people, then I don't know what is going to be, because it was a tremendous event. TK Wiggs is here covering it when I was not able to be here, and we're going to interview her later on in the program. So we're going to take a brief break here, set up the rest of the program, and then we'll start segment one in just a moment. Thank you for listening. So there you have it. That was 10 years after talking about loving to change the world. That was from the 60s and 70s, and we still have these same problems now. So pay attention, folks. This is going to be a rough ride in the next few years. We're already in it, and it's only going to get worse in some respects. If we'll be fortunate if it does get better in some other respects, and it will, but overall, it's going to be bad. So that's what we have to say on that subject. More on segment four. And right now, segment one. We're going to talk about what's happened in the news the last few segments here, or the last several days. This is the news summary from the approximately the last week. And co-host TK Weeks is going to lead this segment.
Okay, well, the big news obviously was the Science March, and it didn't just happen in D.C. It happened throughout the country, and I think throughout the world. There was a march in Chicago with about 40,000 people by all accounts. There was one in St. Pete, and I'm told that several thousand people turned out in St. Pete to do a science march. There was even a march underwater. Some marine scientists donned scuba gear and marched on the ocean floor, marching for science with signs, and they filmed that. So everywhere people were marching for facts, for data, for research, for science. Other things going on, really a lot. In Florida, some important developments as far as voting rights. For a long time, people have been pushing to restore voting rights to felons, to convicted felons who have served their time and been released back out into society. Florida is one of the few states that does not allow those people the right to vote. They do not restore that right. So there's a ballot initiative to vote on, to get that on the ballot for the Constitution, to make a constitutional amendment to restore rights to felons who are released and have done their time. The Florida Supreme Court just ruled that that amendment can be on the next ballot. So we're going to be voting on whether we want to restore rights to felons, which is really the right thing to do. These people have done their time. They're back out into society. They deserve to have their say. They deserve to have a stake in society. Also, denying these people rights, it's fallen disproportionately on minority communities. It has been a way of disenfranchising minority populations. So that's going to be an interesting development here in Florida. Also in Florida, apparently more than a dozen Florida House Democrats have formed the Progressive Legislative Caucus. It's going to be led by Orlando's Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith. He's going to be the chair. They're going to unite as a block to forward progressive values in Tallahassee, and good luck to them.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, lots of luck, guys.
Because the Florida legislature is not exactly a progressive institution. In fact, it's not hardly at all. The Democratic Party is a minority in the Florida legislature, and the progressive Democrats are a minority of the Democratic Party. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with that. The Republicans are still in control of the governor's office, with Governor Rick Scott, of course. And then, of course, our majority control of the Florida Senate and Florida House chambers in the Florida legislature. And that's been a fact for many years, and that's not going to change in a huge way unless we have a big change that comes at the 2018 election, which we very well may, because we can see what many people have labeled as the resistance. That is a fact. You can see it in the indivisible groups. You can see it with the resistance groups. You can see it in the Democratic Party. You can see it in independents. You can see it with Our Revolution, which is the Bernie Sanders campaign after the election. That was an organization that was formed from Bernie Sanders campaign volunteers that is ongoing. Progressive Democrats of America, the left is organizing, and the left is coming back in a big way. And boy, do we need it, because we cannot allow people to do this climate change denial. We are in a climate crisis right now. And we cannot allow people that are obstructionist and just wallowing in unscientific stupidity to save prevent us from saving our civilization.
Tell us what you really think.
Well, I've said that in public before, almost word for word, that same exact statement. And I have to say, it is past the point where we should probably even be polite about this. We have to jolt people into the reality of the fact of climate change. Glaciers all over the world are melting. That's a fact. Temperatures, average temperatures in the atmosphere are going up as a long-term trend. That's a fact. The insurance industry and the military, the United States military, they have noticed that storms are becoming more severe and more frequent and more unpredictable in the short term, while they get more predictable in the long term, because the long-term trend is more severe, strange, and more frequent. So that's a fact. And if you have any doubt about this, watch the documentary film that was produced by Al Gore, An Inconvenient Truth. Watch the film Chasing Ice, which documents the melting of the glaciers in a big, dramatic way. I mean, it is bad. Okay, now that is what is happening.
Also in Tallahassee, as the legislative session winds down, we still don't have a budget. And it's not clear whether we're going to get one. That's the one constitutionally mandated duty of the legislature, is to agree on a budget. And at the moment, the House, the Republican-controlled House, is still deadlocked with the Republican-controlled Senate, that hotbed of liberalism, the Republican Senate. They are not able to agree with their colleagues in the House on a budget. They have pretty much poo-pooed the continuation budget that was presented to them. 8 days left to go here. We don't know what's going to happen.
Wow, and that's interesting as well. And there's so many things that are being affected by the state legislature, and it's more to list than we have in this program, but the budget is definitely something that's a big concern to a lot of people. And not only at the state level, at the national level as well. We're in chaos with the Trump presidency, and what's happened in the last 100 days is just an indication of how bad it's going to be for the next 100 and the next 100 after that, in the first year, and the second year, and the third year, and the fourth year. If Trump actually stays in office that long, and there's speculation that he won't even last an entire 4 years. Of course, we're going to find out in real time as this happens, but there is speculation to that effect. Of course, there has been from the beginning, from the moment that the election results for the general election 2016 were known, there's been people speculating that. And it is speculation up to this point, but I think it's reasonable and it's rational, and it's fair to say that the chances are increasing that Trump will not serve out a 4-year term. Let's just say that. Okay, that's where we're at with this. I'm going to change plan here for the program, and we're going to go to segment two, and segment two will be the Jim Hightower commentary. We'll come back after 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and we'll do segment three, which is the future events calendar, and then we'll go to segment four, which is my interview with co-host TK Weeks about her coverage of the March for Science, and then segments from the March for Science rally itself. We're going to feature some great speakers. We hope to speak with Bill Nye, the science guy.
He was a rock star at the rally.
And James Balog and Thomas Dolby, who is a very interesting man. He was the writer of that song, She Blinded Me with Science. You remember that song from the 80s? He wrote that, and he's also a scientist. And not only that, he was at the rally, and he did the song.
It was awesome.
Can you think of anything that would be more appropriate than that for a climate science rally? Unbelievable. So we're going to have a segment from him, we hope. We're doing this program without the benefit of the normal technical facilities that we have to do this program because we're live on location with a remote set of equipment. And this is the first time that we've done this full set of equipment like this, and probably this is the most successful remote broadcast that we're having. At least I hope so. I hope the control room thinks that, and our control room station engineer, Pete, is able to to keep this program together. As far as I know, everything is working well. And let's go to Jim Hightower, and then we'll come back with the current events calendar and then go to segment four. Thank you for listening once again.
By gollies, the Donald delivers. Trump and his new blue ribbon panel of working class champions have announced a bold initiative to create millions of American jobs.
You have anything to say?
A spokesman for the panel, Steve Schwarzman, praised Trump as a leader who wants to, quote, do things a lot better in our country for all Americans. Wait a minute, Steve Schwarzman? Isn't he a billionaire hedge fund huckster on Wall Street? Yes, and holy money bags, there's Jamie Dimon, head of scandal-ridden J.P. Morgan Chase. Working class champions? Trump's whole jobs panel is made up of Wall Street banksters and corporate powers like Walmart that are notorious for laying off and ripping off workers. Trump, the candidate, fulminated against such moneyed elites, calling them, quote, responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class. But now, in a spectacular flip-flop, he's brought these robbers directly inside his presidency, asking them to be architects of his economic strategy. Worse, he's doing this in the name of helping workers. Hello, to develop policies beneficial to working stiffs, bring in some working stiffs. But not a single labor advocate is on his policy council, in his cabinet, or anywhere near his White House. Thus, the so-called job creation plan announced by Trump and his corporate cohorts doesn't create any jobs, but calls instead for, ta-da, deregulating Wall Street. These flim-flammers actually want us rubes to believe that freeing banksters to return to casino-style speculation and consumer scams will give them more money that they can invest in American jobs. This is Jim Hightower saying, do they think we have sucker wrappers around our heads? Trump's scheme will let banks make a killing, but does not require them to invest in jobs, so they won't. There's a name for this, fraud.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Make sure you tune in to the Sports Web on Saturday afternoons because it just got a whole lot better. Instead of giving you 1 hour to talk sports, we give you two. The most entertaining sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area, the Sports Web, is going 2 hours on Saturday afternoons on the Tan Talk Sports Network, WTAN, 1340 AM. Bring your passion, bring your excitement, just don't bring any nonsense. Hosted by Peter Blake and Sean the Sports Don every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 PM on the Tan Talk Sports Network.
And remember, that is the Sports Web. Now 2 hours for your listening enjoyment. And it's a fun program. I listen. I sometimes call in and harass the host, Peter Blake. So listen to the Sports Web on Saturdays on the Tantalk Radio Network. Okay, back with our next segment. This is segment three, and this is the Future Events Calendar. And this segment is led by co-host Terry TK Weeks.
Okay, tomorrow, Tuesday, April 25th at 7 p.m., the Pinellas Democratic Progressive Caucus is meeting, and they're meeting in a new location. They've kind of outgrown their previous home at Democratic headquarters, and they're looking for a more centrally located space. They're going to be meeting at the National Association of Letter Carriers office. That's at 5369 Park Boulevard North. It's in Pinellas Park. So that's going to be 7 p.m. tomorrow, the Democratic Progressive Caucus, trying to move the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction. Of course, Saturday is another march. The People's Climate March is happening on Saturday. It's another march that's going to be taking place throughout the country and probably throughout the world to some extent. There's going to be one in D.C., and I believe Mark is going to stay in town to cover that. I have to go home and go back to work, but that's okay because there's going to be marches in the Tampa Bay area too. In Tampa, there's going to be a climate march at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 29th. It's in Likes Gaslight Park. That's 410 North Franklin Street in Tampa. And in St. Pete, there's going to be a march starting at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. It's going to be at Mirror Lake and 6th Street North. They'll start out, and then they will go marching through downtown. So two events, both sides of the bay, for the People's Climate March on Saturday. Sunday, April 30th at 5 p.m., this is going to be at Temple Bethel. That's at 400 Pasadena Avenue at St. Peter. Really interesting speaker, part of the Leif Nissen Social Justice Lecture Series, put on by Bruce Nissen and Karen Lieberman, some great progressive members of the community. They're going to be presenting Sasha Abramski. He's a journalist and author. He's going to be talking about the American way of poverty, how the other half still lives in America. Abramski, he's a journalist. He's an author whose work has appeared in The Nation, American Prospect, New Yorker. He's got an upcoming book called Jumping at Shadows that will be published by Nation Magazine. His speech on Sunday at Temple Bethel is free. So it's going to be a great speech. I'm sure all their events are really interesting. You want to check it out. Monday, May 1st, May Day, big day for labor. At 4 p.m., there's going to be a May Day barbecue and potluck to celebrate International Labor Day. It's sponsored by the South St. Pete Democratic Club and the Pinellas County Progressive Democratic Caucus again. They're going to be supplying the meat and the drinks. You can bring other munchies and yourself and your family. It's going to be 4 p.m. Dell Homes Park in St. Pete, 2741 22nd Street South. Also May 1st at 7 p.m., a special showing of a very interesting film, 8 Days, 8 Borders. It's a film about a Syrian mother of two who decides risking her family's lives on a raft in the Mediterranean is going to be better than staying in Syria. And the filmmaker is going to be present at this showing for discussion. It's going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Clearwater. That's 2470 Nursery Road in Clearwater. That's May 1st at 7 p.m. Really interesting event. So as always, lots of events going on in the Tampa Bay area that you're going to want to check out.
Co-host TK Weeks, thank you so much for those advisements. As always, we do usually second or third segment. Segment two or segment three on this program, we do the future events calendar so you can keep current with the events happening in St. Petersburg, Florida, Pinellas County, and the Tampa Bay area in general, and sometimes nationally as well. Back in a moment.
You can't just wish and hope for something to come true. You have to make it happen.
You gotta just love Bruce Springsteen. A true patriot. A true great guy and a great rock and roll musician. Thank you, Bruce, for that song. Okay. Now to segment four for this week's Spectrum 360. And this will take us to the end of the program. And we are going to have various and sundry comments. And we're going to focus on the event that happened this last Saturday, 22 April 2017, near the Washington Monument on the National Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C., surrounded by the state of Maryland and Virginia. And there were approximately 40,000 people at this event. There was a rally, there was a stage, great musicians, great speakers. And then there was a march for science. And it was a unique event. I've never seen anything like it. I was able to see some of the video coverage when I was in St. Petersburg, Florida. Co-host TK Weeks did travel here ahead of me, and she covered the march for science. And as she said, I'm going to be staying through this next weekend to cover the People's Climate March. So Spectrum 360 is going to be on location for both events and giving you coverage of what happens, these back-to-back climate-related events. Now, isn't that great? Isn't that a way to restart the live broadcast of this program after a long break? But we are back. We've restarted, and we're going to go for it. So, without further ado, I'd like to ask some questions of co-host TK Weeks, and she can set this up for you, and then we're going to find some segments to play for you for the people that we announced previously on the program, and see if we can get some audio into your ears from the Climate March for Climate stage program. So, TK Weeks, how did it happen that you got interested in this and then made the decision to come? And just tell me about that thought process and then the logistics of coming here and then what you experienced just in general, why I set everything else up here.
Well, as we all know, the Trump administration is not a big fan of science, as climate change is a hoax. And scientists aren't usually people who are politically active, stick their necks out and you know, march, have rallies, that kind of thing. But I mean, it's gotten to the point where even they feel that
Yes.
under threat. I've worked in scientific fields. I'm a nurse right now. In the medical field, we practice science. I have worked as an environmental educator for quite a few years. I did some fisheries biology work at the Fish and Wildlife Research Institute in Florida. So I've worked in the sciences for a while. These are my people. So I love these people.
Is that a fishy story?
It's fishy. It is a fishy story.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah,
I want to say one comment about the marchers. I've never seen more people at a political rally that were in white lab coats. It was just hilarious.
It was. It's true. So when I heard that the scientists were marching, I really wanted to. I knew I had to be there. And so made the arrangements to get up here to D.C. and be with these people. And it was a lousy day for a march. It really was. It was chilly. It was gray. It was rainy. We all got very wet. And despite that fact, there were about 40,000 people out there it started at 10 o'clock. There was a rally. Many, many, many speakers. We'll be putting some of them up on our Facebook pages and websites. The march didn't start till 2 o'clock, so people were out there all day getting pretty wet. But the enthusiasm was tremendous. They also had some teach-ins where scientists were talking about various things, various scientific topics. I unfortunately was not able to get into any of those because you needed to pre-register, and they were all sold. They were all booked. But they sounded great. There was a lot of different events that way. And yes, there were a lot of people in white lab coats. There were scientists from every field. There were doctors in their white coats. There were climate scientists. There were biologists, geologists. There were astronauts. There were kids.
Astronauts?
Astronauts are scientists. Ask Bill Nelson.
That I did not know.
Yeah, we have one of them spoke, actually. Firefighters, they actually study science, too. And climate science is very important to them, as the wildfires are putting firefighters more at risk than ever. They're facing a lot more danger with these out-of-control wildfires. So firefighters are very interested in climate science. A lot of kids out there. Kids love science. I know this from being an environmental educator. Kids love to figure out, you know, why do things happen? What makes things work? What are these cool critters? Kids love science. And there were a lot of kids out there that were excited about science, that wanted to do science someday when they grew up. And it was great to see them. There were groups of scouts out there. I have a picture, I think, on our Facebook page of some of the Boy Scouts that turned out for science. I loved being out there with these people. This was great.
So we're going to go to the first segment from the audio from the stage of the Climate Science March. And this is Bill Nye, better known as Bill Nye, the science guy.
And boy, did he get a reception at this event.
Yeah, he was an absolute rock star. And he's hilarious. He's a lot funnier and more animated than I ever realized. And yeah, he was a celebrity at this event. And I loved that there was one sign that was at the rally that I've been made aware of. And what did it say?
It said, without science, Bill Nye would just be a guy.
Yes, and I thought that was great. So we're going to try to play for you a segment of the audio from Bill Nye. Let's see if this works, okay? Let's have a little fun here. Let's go upon.
And actively suppressing science. They're in interest.
Okay, give me just a moment. That is part of what we were playing. We're going to play for you. And I need to just backtrack a little bit so we get the entire segment in, because it's that good. We really want to hear this in its entirety. Give me just a moment. Forgive me as I backtrack here a little bit and organize here on the air a little bit. I don't normally do programs like this, but when you're on the air live in a remote, it's a little more difficult than being in a multi-$1,000 studio. Well, let's try that again. Something has happened here.
Greetings, fellow citizens. We are marching today to remind people everywhere, our lawmakers especially, of the significance of science for our health and prosperity. The process of science has enabled humankind to discover the laws of nature. This understanding has in turn enabled us to feed and care for the world's billions, build great cities, establish effective governments, create global transportation systems, explore outer space, and know the cosmos. The framers of the Constitution of the United States, which has become a model for constitutional governments everywhere, included Article 1, Section 8, which refers to promoting the progress of science and useful arts. Its intent is to motivate innovators and drive the economy by means of just laws. They knew that without the progress of science and useful arts, of engineering, our economy would falter. Without scientifically literate citizens, the United States, any country, in fact, cannot compete on the world stage. Yet today we have a great many lawmakers, not just here, but around the world, deliberately ignoring and actively suppressing science. Their inclination is misguided and in no one's best interest. Our lives are in every way improved by having clean water, reliable electricity, and access to electronic global information. Each is a product of scientific discoveries, diligent research, and thoughtful engineering. These vital services are connected to policy issues, which can only be addressed competently by understanding the natural laws in play. Some may consider science the purview of a special or separate type of citizen, one who pursues natural facts and generates numerical models for their own sakes. But our numbers here today show the world that science is for all. Our lawmakers must know and accept that science serves every one of us, every citizen of every nation and society. Science must shape policy. Science is universal. Science brings out the best in us. With an informed, optimistic view of the future, together, we can, dare I say it, save the world! Thank you!
And that was Bill Nye, the science guy. Excuse me. Sorry for the level in the control room, Peter. I'm jocking things around here a little bit. There, it's back to normal. Sorry about that, about the spike. And Terry, just to tell me what it was like to be in the audience as you were listening to Bill Nye. What kind of reaction did he get? It sounded like he got a great reaction.
He was a rock star. People were screaming his name, Bill, 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 Bill. The crowd absolutely loved him. And he is really, he probably never imagined in his career that he would reach such heights of fame, but he's taken on the climate deniers and really emerged as a spokesperson for science and for sanity.
Wow, that's really impressive. And I just think it's so interesting that he goes around wearing that bow tie, and it's just funny what, you know, sometimes he looks like such a geek, but he is a very smart guy. And I think that's part of his shtick, being Bill Nye, the science guy.
Scientists are funny. People think scientists aren't funny. They're very funny. One of the signs that I saw at the march I thought was really funny. It said, if you're not part of the solution, you're the precipitate.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one, too.
A little nerd humor for you there.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's go to the next segment. And this is James Balog, one of the producers and filmmakers who created and is the star of the film. See it. It's great evidence of what climate change is already doing to the planet in just absolutely visual and stunning form. Chasing Ice is the documentary film. I've seen it 6 times. I met one of the producers, and it's a stunning film. It's been shown all over the Tampa Bay area. You can get it online. Go do whatever you need to do to see it. It's about 2 to 3 years old now, but it's well worth seeing. And go back and review An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore as well. So
you know, he's got a new movie, a new climate movie coming out soon. I cannot remember the name of it now, but it's An Inconvenient Something. But anyway, look out for it. We'll talk about it later when we get more information.
An Inconvenient Something?
That's not the title. It's something. Never mind.
Something. Something. Okay, let's go to James Balog. Without any further ado here, if I can get this to work correctly here. We're working out without our studio equipment this week on location, so it's a little different than the average program, but let's give it a shot. James Balog, he's a great speaker. He also does a TED Talk, which is excellent as well, and you can look for that online as well, TED Talk. This is James Balog, originator of the film Chasing Ice. Listen, please.
Good afternoon. I'm James Balog. I am a patriot. I fight for spacious skies. I fight for amber waves of grain, for Purple Mountain's majesty. You all are patriots. But I do that by being a photographer, filmmaker, and scientist. We have met here today where a great battle for the mind, body, and soul of this country is being fought. Among other things, it is a battle between objective reality and ideological fiction. My team and I have collected visual evidence of the epic changes sweeping the earth today. I've seen how burning coal, oil, and gas cooks the air we breathe. I've seen how that altered air heats our forests until they explode in fireballs and homes burn down. I've seen through more than 1 million frames of time-lapse photography how trillions of tons of glacier ice are melting. I've seen that meltwater enter the seas and flood the coastlines of America. Nature isn't natural anymore. You and I and all 7.5 billion of us are changing the climate. It's what the real world evidence says. But you know, there's good news too. Each one of us can use our voices and our choices to take us down the road to a better future. I submit to you that we the people have an inalienable right, not just to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but to clean air, clean water, and a stable climate. Our survival demands it, and our children deserve it. And so, empowered by evidence and real world's truth, we shall fight for spacious skies. We shall fight for amber waves of grain. We shall fight for majestic mountains, and we shall march on these streets. We shall never, ever surrender. Thank you.
And that was James Balog, the originator of a lot of great photography and climate science, and the principal, the lead character in the great documentary film Chasing Ice. And TK Weeks, what was it like being there in person listening to James Balog? We've seen that film. I've seen it six times. You've seen it multiple times. We promoted it. We saw it, one of the first people to see it in Denver, before it opened across the country, and then we saw it all over the country and other places that we're fortunate enough to see. What was it like being there in person?
I was very excited to see him. He's an extraordinary photographer, an extraordinary explorer and adventurer who's really pioneered some incredible techniques to get the footage that he got during the Chasing Ice film. It really was a time at the marsh to see a lot of your nerd heroes. There was the guy that started the very first Earth Day way back in the 70s. He spoke.
That's amazing.
The climate scientist who first came out with the hockey stick graph, the one that shows how carbon and temperature have increased tremendously in the modern era, he spoke. So really, it was kind of geek heaven out there.
Geek heaven. That's a new one for Spectrum 360. Geek heaven. Oh my gosh. Well, that's just so interesting. This is a unique group of people brought together. I've never seen all these people
doing amazing work in all fields.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I've never seen this group of people on any stage before, no less. This last Saturday in Washington, D.C., it was a unique group of people, very interesting, and a lot of my heroes were there as well. And the first Earth Day guy, Earth Day was in 1970.
Yep.
That was a long time ago now. Okay, and then let's go back to another segment, and this is Thomas Dolby. Remember, she blinded me with science.
And he's going to be introduced by, we had great music there too, he's going to be introduced by Questlove, who was the MC of the whole event there in D.C.,
yes, wonderful. So here we go with a little bit of this. Oh, and hold on just a second. I got to get this just exactly right. So we do this correctly. And excuse me, but to make a slight adjustment here on our equipment. And then we'll play this segment. Here we go. Yeah, Thomas Dolby. Can you believe it? He's not only a scientist, but he's a songwriter and did She Blinded Me with Science. And I did not know that until today. Here he is.
I love that walk-on music. It's real foreboding. Anyway, thank you, everyone. You're still here, even though it's raining. Rain is beautiful. Give it up for Glenda. Very interesting points. And for everyone that spoke earlier, without science, we are truly operating blindly. It is my pleasure to welcome to the stage a very, very, very special artist who pioneered the New Wave movement in the early 80s. For those millennials that don't know, that's pop music that incorporates electronic instruments. His work covers a wide range of musical styles and moods, and he is also a technology entrepreneur in Silicon Valley, and he's the musical director of the tech conference, and unknown to most as a professor at Johns Hopkins University. So the bottom line is that he actually fits in with our lineup of talented musicians and accomplished scientists. In fact, so much that he's been blinding us with his sounds for more than 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Mr. Thomas Science Dolby.
Okay, can you believe that? That's a live version of She Blinded Me With Science. I just can't believe I heard that. That actually happened at the rally. I can't think of anything that was more appropriate. And TK Weeks, your final comments for this program.
I'm really encouraged that so many people throughout around the country have come together to support science and be excited about it. It gives me a lot of hope. And I think we're going to do amazing things.
And that's the final comment for this week's Spectrum 360. Come back next week for another live Spectrum 360, probably on location. Thank you for listening.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining